The Hyksos chariots were designed to give protection to the crew from the front, and their archers were stationed on the footplate to fire their arrows forward. Confusion spread down their line as they tried to meet our attack from the rear. Hard-pressed, some of the drivers attempted to turn back to confront us, and they collided with the chariots alongside. Those fearsome wheel scythes cut into the legs of the neighbouring horses and brought them down in a screaming, whinnying tangle. The confusion spread among them just as the first volley of arrows from the Egyptian archers rose up over the massed ranks of Shaluk and dropped among the Hyksos. Immediately this happened, Memnon gave the order, and we wheeled away and let them run down on that palisade of sharpened staves. Half their horses were maimed or killed by those fierce points. Those who broke through were met by the Shaluk and a cloud of javelins. Struck by stake and arrow and javelin, their horses panicked, kicking and rearing in the traces. Those chariots that were still under control hurled themselves into the Shaluk phalanx. They met no resistance. The black ranks opened before them, allowing the horses to run through, but then they closed up behind them. Every one of those tall, willowy black devils was an athlete and an acrobat. They leapt up onto the footplate of the racing chariots from behind, and they stabbed and hacked at the crew with dagger and spear. They swallowed that first charge of chariots the same way a jellyfish engulfs a swift silver sardine in its myriad arms and amorphous body. The Hyksos spearmen were moving forward to follow up and exploit the chariot charge, but now they were exposed. Loose horses and the surviving chariots tore back into their massed ranks and forced them to open up and let them through. For the moment they were stranded in disorder in the middle of the field, and Memnon skilfully seized the opportunity. Lord Acre's horses were blown, and Memnon led them back into the reserve. He and I changed teams. It was but a moment's work for the grooms to loosen the tack that coupled rock and chain, and to lead in a fresh team from the horses being held in reserve. We had 6,000 fresh horses ready in the rear. I wondered how many Hyksos horses had escaped the Strangler, how many fresh teams they were holding. As we wheeled back into line, Remren called to us desperately, "Your Majesty! The first! Let my first division go!" Pharaoh ignored him and signalled to Astes. The second moved forward behind us and formed up at the trot. The Hyksos infantry was still tangled in the middle of the field. They had extended to overlap our shorter line, but had lost their dressing. The line was crumpled and twisted. With the general's eye, Memnon picked out the weakest point, a salient in their left flank. "The second division will advance. Trot, march, forward. Pods of eight, charge." We tore into the salient in the line. Eight chariots abreast. Pod after pod, we crashed into them and ripped them open. Their left flank buckled, while their right still pressed forward. We had them cantered across the field. Their centre was shearing, and Memnon reformed the third division at the gallop and set them up to tear open the enemy centre. At the moment before we were committed to the charge, I glanced across at the city. Dust had almost obscured the range, but I glimpsed the two white flags on the summit of the Finger of Horus. It was the warning signal from my lookout posted there, and I swiveled around and looked back at the eastern fort of the city. "Sire!" I cried, and pointed back. The king followed my arm, and saw the first squadron of Hyksos chariots trot out from concealment behind the curve of the wall. The others followed, like a column of black warrior ants on the march. "Apachan is throwing in his reserves to save his infantry," Memnon shouted above the din of battle. "A moment more, and he would have had us in enfilade. Well done, Tata." We had to let the infantry escape as we wheeled into line to face Apachan's chariots. We charged at each other across a field littered with smashed and overturned chariots, loose arrows and javelins, dead and wounded horses and dying men. As we came together, I stood taller on the footplate and peered ahead. There was something unusual about the run of the enemy chariots, and then it dawned upon me. "Sire," I cried, "look at the horses! They are running sick animals!" The chests of the leading teams were painted with a glistening coat of yellow mucus that streamed from their gaping mouths. Even as I watched, one of the horses coming towards us staggered and fell headlong, bringing his teammate down with it. "Sweet Isis, you are right. Their horses are finished before they have begun," Memnon answered. He saw instantly what we had to do. It was the measure of his superb control that he was able to deflect a charge of his chariots once it was fully launched. At this very last moment he declined the head-on engagement. We opened like a flower before their charge, peeling away on either side of them, turning and running back for our own lines, drawing them on, straining their sick and gasping horses to their utmost. We ran before them in a tight, compact formation. Their own line began to waver and fall apart as the weaker horses broke down. Some of them fell as though struck in the head by an arrow. Others merely slowed and stopped, standing with their heads hanging, mucus pouring from their mouths in shiny golden ropes. Lord Acre's own horses were almost blown by now. They had driven two furious charges without a rest. Still pursued by the remnants of Apachan's division, Memnon led them back to where Huey's fourth division was drawn up alongside Remran and his first. "Pharaoh, the first is ready. Let me go. In the name of all the gods, let me go," Remran howled with frustration. Memnon hardly glanced in his direction. I turned my chariot in alongside that of Huey. A team of grooms slipped our sweat-soaked horses from the traces and led in a fresh pair. While Lord Acre's exhausted division streamed back past us, we faced the oncoming Hyksos. "Are you ready, Captain Huey?" Memnon called to him, and Huey raised his bow in salute. "For Egypt and Tomoza," he shouted. "Then forward march! Charge!" Memnon laughed, and our horses jumped against the traces as we shot forward. There were six full divisions of Apachan's chariots scattered across the field in front of us. Half of them were broken down, with the horses fallen or drooping in the traces, suffocated and dying from the yellow strangler. Most of the others were reduced to a walk, the horses staggering and wheezing. However, the remaining chariots came on in good order. We went out to meet them face to face. In the centre of their charge rode a tall chariot, its coachwork clad in shining bronze. On the footplate stood a man so tall that he towered above his driver. He wore the high golden helmet of Hyksos royalty, and his dark beard was plaited with coloured ribbons that fluttered in the wind like pretty butterflies hovering over a flowering shrub. "Apachan," Memnon challenged him, "you are a dead man." Apachan heard him, and he picked out our golden chariot. He swerved to meet us, and Memnon tapped my shoulder. "Lay me alongside the bearded hog. It's time for the sword at last." Apachan loosed two arrows at us as we closed. Memnon caught one on his shield. I ducked under the other, but I never lost my concentration. I was watching those terrible spinning scythes on the hubs of Apachan's wheels. They could hack my horse's legs out from under them. Behind me I heard the gravelly rasp as Memnon drew the blue sword from its scabbard on the side panel. And from the corner of my eye I caught the steely flash of the blade as he went on guard. I swung my horse's heads over, feinting to the right to confuse the Hyksos driver, but the instant we started to turn away, I changed my direction again. I avoided his scythes and passed him close, then I turned in sharply behind him. With my free hand I snatched up the grappling hook and tossed it over the side panel of the other chariot. Now we were locked together. But I had achieved the advantage, for we lay across his stern. Apachan swiveled around and aimed a sword cut at me, but I fell to my knees under it, and Memnon gathered up the blow on his shield, then swung the blue sword. A shard of bronze curled from the edge of Apachan's weapon, sliced away by the steel, and he shouted in angry disbelief and flung up his copper shield at the next blow. Apachan was a superb swordsman, but no match for my king and the blue sword. Memnon mangled his shield to strips and then swung hard at his bronze blade as Apachan tried to defend his head. The blue blade sheared the bronze cleanly, and Apachan was left with only the hilt in his fist. He opened his mouth wide and bellowed at us. The teeth in the back of his jaw were black and rotten, and his spittle blew into my face in a cloud. Memnon used that classic straight thrust to end it. He drove the point of the blue blade through Apachan's open mouth deeply into the back of his throat. His angry bellow was drowned out by the torrent of bright blood that burst through his hairy lips. I cut the rope of the grappling hook and let the Hyksos chariot run free. The horses were out of control and they slewed away and ran down the line of locked and battling chariots. Apachan clutched at the dashboard, holding himself erect, even though he was dying, and the blood spurted from his mouth and cascaded down his breastplate. It was a sight that struck dismay into the hearts of his charioteers. They tried to disengage their sick and staggering horses, but we ran hub to hub with them and hurled our javelins into them. We followed them all the way back until we came within range of their archers, and flocks of arrows fell around us and forced us to break off. "It's not over yet," I warned Memnon as we walked our tired horses back. "You have broken Apachan's chariots, but you still have to deal with Beon's infantry." "Take me to Kratos," Pharaoh ordered. I stopped our chariot in front of the massed regiments of Shiluk, and Memnon called across to Kratos, "What heart, my lord?" "I fear, sire, that my fellows will fall asleep if you cannot find a little work for us to do." "Then let us hear a tune from them as you take them forward to seek employment." The Shiluk began their advance. They moved with a curious shuffling gait, and every third pace they stamped in unison with a force that made the ground jump beneath their horny bare feet. They sang in those deep melodious African voices, a sound like a swarm of angry black bees, and they drummed their spears upon their rawhide shields. The Hyksos were disciplined and brave. They could not have conquered half the world if they had not been so. We had smashed up their chariots, but they stood to meet Kratos' advance behind a wall of bronze shields. The two armies came together like fighting temple bulls. The black and the white bulls locked horns and fought it out breast to breast and spear to spear. While the two armies of foot soldiers mauled each other, Pharaoh held back his chariots, using them with skill and daring only when there was an opening or a weakness in the enemy positions. When a pocket of the Hyksos infantry was isolated on the left, he sent in Acre's division and annihilated them with two swift charges. When Lord Beon tried to send reinforcements forward to assist his beleaguered front, Pharaoh dispatched Astes with 500 chariots to frustrate him. The Hyksos rallied every one of their remaining chariots and every one of their horses that could still stand and threw them against our right. Memnon sent Huey and Astes out to meet them and to break up their attack. He left Remrin cursing and pleading and stamping up and down beside his chariot and ignored his pleas. Pharaoh and I circled the fighting in the golden chariot, watching each shift and change in the conflict. He pushed in his reserves in exactly those places where they were most needed, and with the timing and anticipation that can never be taught or learned. It was as though the pulse and the tempo of the battle beat in his heart, and he sensed it in his blood. Always I looked for Kratos in the thick of it. Many times I lost him, and I dreaded that he was down, but then his helmet showed again, with the ostrich feather plume cut away and the bronze splattered with his own blood and the blood of other men. It was there in the centre where Kratos fought that the Hyksos ranks began to give. It was like the first trickle through the earth wall of a dam. Their line bulged and stretched to the breaking point. Their rear ranks began to fall in upon themselves under the relentless pressure. "By the love of Horus and the compassion of all the gods, Tata, this is the moment of our victory." Memnon saw it even before I did. We galloped across to where Remrin still waited, and Pharaoh hailed him. "Are you ready, my lord Remrin?" "I have been ready since dawn, sire, but I am no lord." "Would you argue with your king, sir? You are a lord now. The enemy centre is breaking. Take your chariots and chase them back to Memphis." "May you live for ever, Pharaoh," Lord Remrin roared, and he sprang to the footplate. He led out the first. Their horses were fresh and strong, and their fighting spirit was chafed raw and angry with long restraint. They crashed into the Hyksos right flank. They cut through them with barely a check, and swung round and went into the enemy centre from the rear. It was the perfect moment when the battle teetered, and the Hyksos centre broke. Within the time it takes to draw and hold a long breath, they were in rout. They streamed back towards the city gates, but even Kratos' Shiluk were too far gone to follow them. They stood knee-deep in the piles of dead and dying men. They rested on their spears and let the Hyksos go. This was when the genius of Memnon was made apparent. He had kept the first in hand for this moment. They took up the chase, and I saw Remren's sword rise and fall to a terrible rhythm as he drove them on. The first of the fleeing enemy reached the city gates, but they found them slammed closed in their faces. My spies and agents had done their work well. the populace of Thebes were in revolt, and the city was ours. They barred the gates to the broken Hyksos legions. Remren pursued the Hyksos until night fell and his horses were exhausted. He drove them back 30 miles, and every yard of the north road was littered with their discarded weapons and the bodies of the slain.